Welcome to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk with Reverend Jennifer Hadley. Get ready to focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace through practical application. Here is your host, Reverend Jennifer Hadley.
Bonjour, bonjour. Oh my goodness. Yes, here we go. So I'm up in Maine, my family's house in Maine. If you've been listening for a while, then you hear me return to this spot again and again a few times a year. And this time I forgot my headset, and I won't tell you the boring story. So I'm using the microphone on my computer, so it might sound a little bit different, and that's how it goes sometimes. I went out and bought one, drove 90 minutes there and back to get one, and it sounds worse than the microphone on my computer. So anyway, these are the things that you just can't let them bother you, right? You just cannot let them bother you. So sometimes when I have an experience like that, thinking, oh, you know, maybe I could have just tested the microphone on my computer and said that's good enough without making that drive. But the not being bothered about it, not judging myself that I should have done something different, or that the headset that I got at the Walgreens was no better and actually considerably worse than a cheaper headset I have been using that I got off Amazon. Not judging any of that, just letting it be neutral, is an important part of my moment-by-moment spiritual practice of A Course in Miracles. And what I feel in the moments of this kind of experience, in the practical application of it, is I have this sense that no mistakes have been made, that actually in another version of my script, this would have been a place of upset, or it could have been a place of upset, or it has been in past versions of my script a point of upset. And by not, I'm not having to suppress being upset. I'm not avoiding it. I am just simply recognizing I do not choose it, that being upset by that is a choice. So our topic today is generosity, the aspect or the characteristic of God's teachers that's talked about in the Manual for Teachers. I'm going to get into that, but first let's place our hands on our heart and have a prayer, a blessing. First, I take that breath of gratitude. So grateful and thankful that God is, that love is, that it's possible for us to be generous, generous of heart, generous of spirit. We are opening ourselves to a relinquishment of the need to be bothered, the need to see ourselves as a victim falls away here and now. We open ourselves to a new experience of truth, of perfection, of wholeness and magnificence. We are grateful and thankful to allow ourselves to fully steep in the perfection and the beauty that is natural to our life and being. This is why we come together, two or more gathered in the name and the nature of love, for this holy purpose of healing and transformation. We allow it to unfold with ease and grace. We share the benefits with everyone, and we let it be, and so it is. Amen. 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 Oh, I feel that healing. I do. Right now I'm just getting ready to do week two of my prayer power classes. They're always available on replay if anybody would like to get them. But right now you can join me. And gosh, I love doing the prayer power classes and the whole prayer series. I've got modules of prayer going on all year. I have my prayer practitioner training. And one of the things I frequently mention in my prayers is being patient, kind, generous of heart. So when we are looking at the Manual for Teachers, Characteristics of God's Teachers, looking at generosity, which is the number seven of God's characteristics for the teachers. The first ones are trust, honesty, tolerance, gentleness, joy, defenselessness, then comes generosity, then patience, faithfulness, open-mindedness. Those are the 10 characteristics. I feel it's really helpful to know them and study them. Each of them is its own subsection of the chapters of the Manual for Teachers, and they're very short. The longest one is trust, which is number one, and then the rest are very short. So we won't have trouble getting into this, but it is the practical application that's most important. So let's understand what generosity means in this context. So that's how it begins. The term generosity has special meaning to the teacher of God. It is not the usual meaning of the word. In fact, it is a meaning that must be learned and learned very carefully. Like all the other attributes of God's teachers, this one rests ultimately on trust. For without trust, no one can be generous in the true sense. To the world, generosity means giving away in the sense of giving up. To the teachers of God, it means giving away in order to keep. This has been emphasized throughout the text and the workbook, but it is perhaps more alien to the thinking of the world than many other ideas in our curriculum. Its greater strangeness lies merely in the obviousness of its reversal of the world's thinking. In the clearest way possible, and at the simplest of levels, the word means the exact opposite to the teachers of God and to the world. All right, I'm going to pause there. So, one of the most often quoted teachings of A Course in Miracles is, in order to have, give all to all. In order to have, give all to all. So, yeah, we do tend to think of generosity as being sharing. You're giving up some of what you have so that others can have. I often talk about generosity of heart. So when we're talking about being generous of heart, I have an unlimited resource for patience, for kindness, for love, essentially. And so, and we all do. We might not have exercised it, right? So that we feel that there are times when withholding love is a good idea, withholding kindness can sometimes seem like a good idea. And one of the most valuable things for us to practice and learn from living A Course in Miracles is that to have, give all to all. If you'd like to have patience, give patience to all. If you'd like to experience other people's patience, have patience for all. If you'd like to have kindness, then for yourself, if you'd like people to be kind to you, be kind to everyone. And if you'd like to experience lots and lots of love in your life, give love to everyone. And I know I've said this in the podcast before. It reminds me of a line in Romeo and Juliet from the balcony scene when I think it's Juliet says, "The more I give, the more I have," she says, something like that. One of them does. And that is the nature of love. The more we give, the more we have. To have, give all to all. It's one of the reasons why pets are so helpful and so important in our lives, is because they're such good receivers of love and kindness and patience. And they give us an opportunity to practice giving and giving and giving. As long as we're not giving in order to get something in return, then being able to be like our Creator, infinite givingness. I'm having a couple of experiences that I can share with you. One is I'm part of a text group, and that I just decided to manage it for people because nobody else, it's a large group, it's 20-some people, and nobody else in the group seems to understand how to manage a text group. So they don't understand how to delete people, to add people, that kind of thing, how to label it and blah, blah. So I understand these things. I'm not an expert, but I have some expertise. So people said, "Can you add this, you know, this person?" And then somebody else said, "Oh, can you add this one and this one?" And then, "Oh, can you add that one and that one?" And so I said, "Sure, I can do that." So in order to add people, as I understand it, I've been working with it, I have to start a new group. And it's not that hard. You add the people, and then it says, in order to do that, start a new group, yes or no, yes. So it's pretty simple, and then you have to rename it and give it an icon or picture if you would like those things. And then people have all these questions like, "I don't know who this person is. I don't know who that person is." And explaining to people that if that person is not already in your contact list, then you won't recognize the number, so you won't know the name that's associated with that number, and vice versa. And so if you would like to know who the people are, you need to have them in your contact list. And what is noticeable is people are asking the same questions multiple times because they're not following the conversation, which is fine. It's totally fine. People are saying, "Oh, if you're adding new people to this group and I don't know them, then I don't want to be a part of this group. I only want to be in a group with, you know, these 15 people, not that 20 people." And so I've been saying things like, "I can make a group just for you if you want to tell me who you'd like in that group." Because it takes a little bit of time. It doesn't take a lot of time. And it's a kindness to do it for the people who are asking for these things are older than me. I'm 64, so these are people in their 70s. Maybe even older, I'm not quite sure sometimes. And I'm happy to do it for them as an act of service for the people in my life. And so a couple of people said things like, "You're very patient. I really appreciate how patient you are," something like that. And so then I have my quote that I love to share. Any opportunity I get to share it, I say, it was St. Augustine who said, "The reward of patience is patience." That was something my mother told me, I think when I was a teenager, maybe in my 20s. And I've always remembered it. The reward of patience is patience. I used to be a very impatient person. And so I had to make a real effort to cultivate the capacity for patience. And I think Augustine was 100% correct that the reward of patience is patience. So in the practice, the active practice of being patient, I am, as I recognize now, being generous of heart. It's part of the practice of patience, being generous of heart. So what does that mean to me? It means extending love, extending compassion, which is loving understanding. And very often, the people who, in a sense, require of us the most patience, kindness, generosity of heart, compassion, love, are the people who lack those abilities in that moment. And for me, since I used to lack those abilities in a lot of moments, now when I get to practice them, I am doing what I wish other people could have taught me more clearly, which is, remember, we're always teaching, always. Let's teach only love, for that is what we are. So in the moment-by-moment ability to practice patience, kindness, generosity of heart, compassion, love, we are representing the one who sent us. And so to me, this is the ultimate being truly helpful. So rather than observing someone's obnoxiousness, unkindness, selfishness, thoughtlessness, etc., and then making a decision about it, such as, that's bad, that's wrong, that should be punished, we need to let those people know that's unacceptable, etc., instead of putting a label on it, recognizing this is my opportunity to be truly helpful and to represent the one who sent me. And this is my purpose. I am here only to do this. And in doing this, I remember who I am. That's the whole message of the truly helpful prayer. I will be healed as I let him teach me to heal. And I say it this way, I am healed and I let Spirit teach me to heal. Because I don't want to put my healing in the future. Not that Jesus said it wrong, but just I'm in that place now. The healing is now. It's not in the future. I am healed. I am healed now. And I let Spirit teach me to heal. So rather than resisting teaching only love, which is how we teach healing, I'm in it in this moment. So what I have learned and am still practicing all the time, sometimes I have to remember it, is not to label things first. But if I do label things first, I'm going to feel the upset. And if I feel the upset, then I can go to the prayer at the end of chapter 5, which is, I must have made a wrong decision because I am not at peace. And then I can go right to, I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I allow it. And I do. So this is the active practice of A Course in Miracles. You could just do this and you don't need the book. Seriously, because in doing this practice that I'm describing here, which is my practice, which has transformed my life, everything that's in A Course in Miracles is revealed. Remember, we don't have to seek for love. We are simply removing the blocks to love that we have built up against it in our mind. So in that example, somebody is rude or unkind or just not paying attention to anything but what's going on with them, which is how a lot of people are a lot of the time. If we cannot label that, but see it instead as the cry for love to which we get to live our purpose in response and be truly helpful, extending love and compassion. And this is also a practice of avoiding forgiveness. And let me explain what I mean. Because if we don't judge, there's nothing to forgive. That is my sweet spot. Not judging, nothing to forgive. If I can recognize a judgment arrives in my mind, shoulda, woulda, coulda, against myself. I should have tested the microphone on my computer to see if it was good enough before I made the drive to get the headset. Okay, could have done that, should have done that. No, I could have done that. But for whatever reason, it made sense to me to do what I did. Now, I learned a couple of things in the process. I won't bore you with them, but I'm just going to take it as somehow, some way, that was the best thing for me. Maybe it's the best thing for me because I'm sharing about it right now and you can relate to it. So, not thinking I wasted my time or my energy or my money, I can return this headset. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Sometimes the time it takes to return things, am I going to carry it around in my car till I pass a Walgreens? Maybe I will, maybe I won't. It doesn't really matter. It was not a massive expense. And maybe I'll just give it away. Somebody else can use it. Actually, that sounds like a great idea. But the most helpful thing here, I think, is realizing if we can interrupt the mental pattern and habit of making meaning of things, ascribing the judgment to things, labeling things, if we can interrupt that habit, we can go right to being truly helpful, right to truly being generous of heart. But in the meantime, when we're practicing, as I've been practicing this a gazillion times for many years. So I notice the temptation of the mind to go to looking for the meaning. And that's the pattern I now interrupt. So rather than having to give it meaning and then forgive the meaning that I've given it, withdraw that, course correct, apply kindness, apply generosity, apply love, apply compassion. I can go right to starting with compassion, starting with kindness. So I felt the temptation of the mind in that direction, and I paused, took a breath, No. So that's how we re-pattern the mind. That's how we live A Course in Miracles. That is what we are doing. And what we find out is we much prefer our life without being upset. It took me a long, 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 it took me decades to learn that being upset is not my sweet spot. It's avoidable, and I can avoid it. All right, it's time for me to get ready for a break. And as I'm going into the break, just know that if you're interested in any of our programs that practice this with community in ways that are deeply healing and happy-making, then check out powerofloveministry.net. I've been having conversations with people one-on-one who are in Masterful Living this year. I love doing it. And they're telling me, as they always do, how much benefit they get from practicing with others, how life-changing it is.
Thank you for tuning in for A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk.
Welcome back. Welcome back. So, talking about how life-changing it is to do this practice, and I was also saying at the break there that in talking with the folks in Masterful Living this year, one-on-one, I learned so much, and I feel the most extreme gratitude that Spirit has led me on this journey of self-forgiveness, because it is through my active practice of forgiving the past that I feel like I have very little guilt, and it still comes up, and when it does, it's an opportunity to have even more healing, so I don't mind it or feel bad at all anymore. I feel like, oh, I just found some gold here. Oh, I just found something that's a lump of coal I can turn into a diamond. Woohoo! And so I'm always watching my mind and where is it I'm going. And it used to feel so sad and depressing. Oh, no, I'm failing again. Oh, look how judgmental I am. Oh, I'm complaining again. And now I really see it as just an opportunity to do some good for myself and for the whole of humanity. Because our mind is the mind of God, and every little bit of progress that we make, we share with everyone everywhere. And I love that. I love knowing that. I love living that, and I'm very grateful. One of the things that someone said to me recently, and I've heard it hundreds and hundreds of times from people, is that they're so grateful for the community to practice with, because a lot of spiritual students become quite solitary. Maybe they're the only one in their family who's doing this practice. Maybe they're only one of their friends or at work. And for me, I've had lots of friends and spiritual prayer partners for decades. And still, of all my friends from the Agape community, I'm the one who's most interested in being this meticulous with my mind. And for me, it's just my path of joy. And so there's nothing that is as fruitful to me as being this meticulous with my mind in a loving and gentle way. So I practice that generosity of heart with myself all of the time. And that's what people in the Power of Love Ministry community are recognizing, because I am also teaching it, And so helping people to recognize it themselves, that when someone bothers you, someone annoys you, that's the opportunity you have to heal your mind. Don't miss the healing opportunity anymore, right? I missed it millions of times. Now I'd like to claim all of them, 100%. So let's go back to the rest of the manual for teachers on this characteristic of God's teacher's generosity. It says, the teacher of God is generous out of self-interest. And isn't that exactly what I've been saying? This does not refer, however, to the self, small s, of which the world speaks. The teacher of God does not want anything he cannot give away, because he realizes it would be valueless to him by definition. What would he want it for if we can't give it away, if we can't share it, if we can't extend it? What is it for? Then it's got to be temporal, right? Like a bowl of ice cream. I want it all for myself. I don't want to share it. If I can't share it, it's not valuable to me. And that's the thing that we learn. I used to be someone that, and I still can see my mind going in this direction. Oh, there's only one whatever left, and I'd like to keep it for myself. There's only one jar of that special sauce that I love. And I'm thinking of a sauce that I just got, but I got two jars. But the first thing I'd like to do is share it with others. Oh, let me make some of this with this special sauce I got. It's so delicious. I'd like you to experience it. I'd like you to have some of it. Spirit teaches something so different from the world. The world would say, no, keep it all for yourself so you can enjoy it. But the enjoyment comes from sharing. I know I've shared this little story I'm about to tell you a number of times in this podcast, but I often think, when I'm on this topic, I often think of my nephew Alex when he was about 4 years old and his family was living in Brooklyn and I was visiting them, and I had been in the house with his little sister during the day, and he came home from preschool, and I said, how was school today, Alex? And he said, it was good. You know, the way kids do, it was good. Not really thinking about it, not as we often do. How are you? I'm fine. I'm good. I'm fine. We don't think about it. We don't ponder it. Sometimes people will ask me, how are you? And I take a moment to think about it. And people who don't know me will say, don't you know how you feel? It's like, I'm just checking in. I could give you a rote answer without checking in that wouldn't be real or true. But that's what people are used to, so that's what people would like. Anyway, so that's what Alex gave me. He gave me that. It was good. And so I said, really, what was good about it? And he said, thought about it. I saw his little mind working. And then he said, I shared. I said, you shared? Wow. He said, yes, I shared. I didn't grab. I shared. And I said, oh, sharing is wonderful. He said, yes, it is. And so when we are immersed in the great lie that there's not enough because we feel so, so separate from source, then we grab, then we don't want to share. We want to keep it all for ourselves because we are 100% convinced there's not enough. to have, give all to all. So you can see how the ability to practice generosity requires us to have already come to trust in spirit. So I can trust in spirit that there will be more sauce or more good things to share. There's not a limited quantity of good. Someone I know has told me that their spouse gets very jealous if they are loving and friendly with other people, like really love someone, really care about them. For instance, their children, their grandchildren, that if she cares for and gives her love to the children and grandchildren, it's less for them. And they don't like that because they believe that love comes in a limited quantity. People only have so much love to share. And so if she shares some of her love with children and grandchildren and friends, there's less for them. And I think you and I know, at least intellectually, that that's insane. Love is what we are. Love is all there is. But it's understandable that a person could have experiences that led them to that conclusion that there's not enough. Not enough. And of course, separation is a belief in lack and limitation. So every time that we are resistant to sharing, to extending, we are affirming that sense of lack, that sense of separation. And then it's going to show up everywhere in our life. So that's why for me, training myself to remember to be generous, that there's plenty, there's always more than enough, because God is an unlimited source and supply, and I'm tapped into it. I'm tuned into it. So the teacher of God does not want anything he cannot give away because he realizes it would be valueless to him by definition. What would he want it for? He could only lose because of it. He could not gain. Therefore, he does not seek what only he could keep, because this is a guarantee of loss. So I've come to recognize that when there is a temptation to say, there's only enough ice cream for me, there's only enough time with that special person for me, there's only enough whatever for me, if I share it, if I share of my time, if I share of my energy, if I share of the special sauce, then there won't be enough for me, or there won't be as much as I want. If I'm affirming any of that, I will be guaranteeing myself a loss and a suffering because I don't understand the true nature of God as me, as all of life. And I'm done with that. I'm done with that. So I'm very grateful when I can see these patterns show up in my mind so I can go the other way. One of the things that I started training my mind with was when I saw the opportunity to go the other way and I took it, I would say, victory is mine, victory is mine, victory is mine. And if nobody was around, I'd throw my arms up in the air. Victory is mine, victory is mine, victory is mine. I think it's so helpful and valuable to have these kinds of rituals to affirm that we are indeed succeeding, because the egoic mind will bring into our awareness over and over again, you're failing, you're failing, you're failing, you cannot do this, you cannot do this. And we strongly counteract that and demonstrate our willingness to go the other way when we celebrate that we have gone the other way, that we are in that process of going the other way. And to me, just recognizing there are choices. I can go and repeat the past patterns of feeling like I'm failing and there's not enough and I'm doing it wrong and I can't succeed. Or I can relax my mind, be in the present moment, which is where the love is, which is where spirit is, and then mentally open myself to that higher Holy Spirit self, that one voice for God. I am going the other way. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. And being able to demonstrate generosity is very powerful. It's very, very powerful. So this is what we're doing. We are opening our mind. We are practicing generosity. Let's see. The teacher of God does not want anything he cannot give away because he realizes it would be valueless to him by definition. What would he want it for? He could only lose because of it. He could not gain. So when we make that selfish, small-minded choice, we cannot gain. We will only lose. And when we are willing to recognize that, to see that, to know that, to feel that, it is deeply and profoundly transformational. So, because it's also inspirational, when we can see that if I don't have compassion, if I am not generous of heart, if I'm not willing to be kind and to be patient, I'm going to continue to suffer. It's my choice. I can set myself free and share the benefits with everyone, or I can withhold the love, withhold the kindness, and punish myself and everyone else. It's my choice. If I choose the punishment road, I will be activating that unconscious guilt, which is the cause of all pain. It's my choice. Do I wish to experience more mental, emotional, physical, financial, spiritual pain, or do I wish to be free of all of that? Do I wish to be truly helpful, or do I wish to be a drag on the system? It's my decision, my choice. So that's another thing, is being able to live in the experience of you choose for me. Right? Giving the choice to the Holy Spirit. What's the highest and best choice for me here and now? I don't know, so you choose for me. And then watch and witness how the love of God moves through you. If you're willing, if you mean it. It's a powerful, powerful practice. Simple, costs us nothing. And it is definitely easier to do when we have brothers and sisters doing it right alongside us, and we can celebrate our victories together. We can commiserate our seeming losses of opportunity when we didn't go the other way, and we're learning through the contrast of pain and suffering versus joy. When we can join together, celebrate the wins, and have compassion for the seeming losses, it's really powerful. It's really powerful because we're here only to be truly helpful. So when we can be truly helpful with our brothers and sisters, we are remembering our true nature and our true identity. And that's a powerful and beautiful thing. So, we can't gain through withholding. Therefore, the teacher of God does not seek what only he could keep, because this is a guarantee of loss. He does not want to suffer. Why should he ensure himself pain? Why should he guarantee himself pain? Why would I guarantee myself pain? Because I feel guilty, because I feel unworthy. Yes, but why do I feel unworthy? Because I'm withholding love. So those who withhold love are sure to suffer until they stop it. And we can stop it today, now. So remember, we're not giving in order to get anything. We're giving because we've already been given everything. That's the truth of it. That is the truth. We live in the eternal now moment, which is where the love is, where the healing is, where the transformation is. Why should he ensure himself pain, but he does not want to keep for himself all things that are of God and therefore for his son? These are the things that belong to him. These he can give away in true generosity, protecting them forever for himself. So, in other words, to have, give all to all. The generosity section in the Manual for Teachers, What are the characteristics of God's teacher's generosity, is section 7, and it's only these two paragraphs. The teacher of God is generous out of self-interest, with a capital S. We do not wish to withhold the love, the patience, the kindness, the generosity of heart. We wish to extend it, because in doing so, we get to experience the healing of being loving. That is the course correction for all the withholding. So again, it's so important to recognize, and this is one of the key things that I share and teach in all my programs, is if we are giving something in order to get something, like appreciation or recognition, if we're trying to get somebody's self-esteem, we're going to go out of our way to help them so that they will appreciate us. They'll thank us. They'll think we're a better person. All of that is giving to get, and all of that will, if we are energizing that, if we're investing in giving to get, so I'm going to take care of my grandchildren so that my children see what a good parent I am, and they forgive me for all the mean things I did in the past. I'm going to make up for it now by taking care of my grandchildren. Then we're giving from a place of lack. Then that is not generosity. That is trying to get appreciation, get good opinions from people, and to make amends for the past. If we would really like to undo the past for real and forever, then what we must do, first and foremost, is forgive ourselves. Because if we have not forgiven ourselves, in other words, if we have not released the self-judgment and the attack thoughts that we're holding against ourselves, then what's happening is we are giving from that energy of, I'm not enough, something's wrong with me, I'm bad. And everyone that we give to, we will be sharing that energetic with them. They will notice it. We all know what it feels like to have someone give us a hug because they need a hug versus they have a hug to share. We all know what it feels like when someone invites us somewhere to give us something in order to get something from us. We all can feel it and recognize it. We understand it, and we can have compassion for it, but we don't mistake it. We know that someone is trying to manipulate us to have a good opinion about them or to get something from us. And it can be very subtle at times, which is why truly living A Course in Miracles is such a deeply healing practice, because that big book, it is outlining all the many, many ways that we can subtly be operating from ego instead of from spirit. So for me, being generous of heart is giving because I have already been given to. I have so much to share that there's this bounty. And that's the thing that is in the balcony scene of Romeo and Juliet. I'm going to take a moment here just to share before I close us out what's coming up. We have a class with Karen J. Gardner, the teachings about A Course in Miracles and Only Home. And that is on Saturday, May 4th. I encourage you to check that out. Also, what's coming up, if you'd like to improve your communication skills, if you would like to open your intuition, if you'd like to do some deep healing, come join me in May in Scottsdale, Arizona for the counseling training intensive. Also, the How to Lead and Create Workshops That Make a Difference. Two events in May in person. So grateful and thankful for the power of love within us. Our hearts and minds are open to the truth we celebrate.